Sunday morning worship for August 6th, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail, and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the 9th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise says, about this time next year I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. So was she told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel reading, according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for yourselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, both women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The miracle that serves as our gospel lesson today is known as the feeding of the 5,000, and it seems obvious why this is a miracle. 5,000 men, plus women and children, were fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And isn't it so great that Jesus fed so many with so little? Like turning 2 pounds of hamburger into 3 pounds of meatloaf. It sounds like a miracle of home economics. Think how much money was saved by feeding so many with so few groceries. But there's more to the feeding of the 5,000 than this. Actually, while it might seem to us that the number of people fed with so little is really the great thing here, it's actually perhaps the least important point of the story. Notice that the size of the crowd is only mentioned in the last verse of the passage, as though it were an afterthought. The size of the crowd really doesn't matter that much. The disparity between the number of fish and bread and the number of the mouths to feed is not actually the most important thing, even if that's what impresses us most at first glance. For that matter, the feeding of the 5,000 is not just a lesson in Jesus' power over creation, nor is it just an echo of the feeding of the Israelites with manna in the desert, showing us that Jesus is the new Moses, even though both of these things are true and somewhat important. But in fact, the main point of the feeding of the 5,000 is something else. The real miracle is not that Jesus feeds so many with so little, but the miracle is that Jesus does it at all. The miracle is not that Jesus gives the people bread and fish, but the miracle is that Jesus gives himself. As we know by experience, giving yourself is not an easy thing to do. The world is full of people asking for help. As churches, we get many requests for help. Help to pay the rent, help to pay the electric bill, help to buy groceries. I suppose people ask the church because they expect the church to be in the business of charity, which perhaps we should be, but the truth is we rarely respond to these requests. We do not give hope, or rather we don't give help, because we often don't think we have help to give. That's true for us as congregations. It's also true for us as individuals. I think you also, just as a person living in the world, you probably get many requests for aid too. Perhaps you get letters in the mail, particularly around Christmas, to help fund some organization that does some good for the poor. Maybe you have a brother-in-law or somebody in the family who's down on their luck and could really use a couple of $100 to get through the week. Or if you want, you could just go walk downtown and I'm sure you will quickly find someone that would ask you for help as well. Someone that wants a few dollars for, or they say it's for dinner or a bus ticket or something else. We have all these requests for help, and we must ask ourselves, what can we do? If you're like me, you don't respond to hardly any of them. I don't say this as though that's an example you should follow, but I think for me and for many of us, this is just the way it is. We cannot help everyone. And even if you help some of them, the requests will keep coming. In fact, if you help someone, you get more requests. The brother-in-law that you give money to today, he'll probably be back next week. The people you help on the street, they'll be there tomorrow. There is no end to the need. The people will always be hungry. So what use is there even in bothering to try? 5,000 people need to eat, and we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what can we do? Or so the disciples may have been thinking. Can you imagine a crowd of 5,000 men, plus women and children? That's, I guess, 10,000 people, or maybe more than that, 10, 12, 15,000 people. I looked it up online. Rupp Arena seats about 22,000. Yum Center in Louisville seats about the same amount. So about half the crowd for a sellout basketball game. That's the amount of people that we're talking about. Can you imagine a crowd like that? These people, they're at the end of the day here. Jesus has been preaching to them all day, and they haven't had anything to eat. And as you might expect, these people are hungry. And as the disciples notice, they're in a place where there isn't anywhere for these people to easily get food. All the disciples have are five small loaves of bread, more like hoagie buns, I suppose, and two fish. It isn't even enough for the 12 disciples themselves to have their own dinner. So how is it that Jesus expects them to feed all these people? They cannot even help themselves. How can they help all these others? So send the people away. We cannot help them. We don't have enough even for ourselves, so send them away. We do not help because we can't. We do not help because then who will help us? This is the issue in the background whenever we begin to talk about charity or helping those in need. If we give away what we have to someone else, what will we have? If we help them, who will help us? I think the disciples were hoping to eat that bread and fish by themselves. If they give that away, though, to the crowd, what will they eat? Or in your position, the $5 in your pocket that you would give to the homeless man on the street, that's a hamburger that you'll not be able to eat for yourself, for your own lunch. If he eats, what are you going to eat? Or if you pay your brother's rent this month, if you pay his rent, who's going to pay your mortgage? This is the hard part of giving. Sometimes it means real sacrifice. Whatever you give away is something you won't be able to spend on yourself. Now, maybe that's a very little thing. Maybe it's something extra that you would never have noticed losing. But sometimes it is a big sacrifice. Either way, giving help means giving up something that you could have used for yourself. And if you can't use it on yourself, if you cannot help yourself, who will help you? We've learned by example that there's not a lot of help in the world, because sometimes we've needed help too, and we have not found it easy to find help. So we've learned that we need to take care of ourselves. We need to save our money. We need to make our own retirement. We need to feed ourselves, because we know not many other people will be willing to help. Because they won't help us, then we cannot help them. As we said, the real miracle, I think, in today's lesson is not that Jesus feeds 5,000 people with five pieces of bread and two fish. Because for Jesus, this is not really such a big deal. He is not just a carpenter's son from Galilee, but he is the creator of the universe. In a sense, everything that anybody eats on a day-to-day basis, that's provided to us by Jesus. And so to feed 5,000, that's nothing new than what he's doing every day. But actually, what Jesus is giving, and the real miracle here, is not the five loaves and the two fish. The real miracle is the other thing that Jesus gives. What he's really giving is himself. Today's lesson begins with Jesus hearing some bad news. Our reading doesn't tell us what that news is, but if you back up a few verses, you'll hear that John the Baptist has been killed by King Herod. Jesus, hearing this news, then wants to go off by himself and spend some time alone. I think we can understand why that is. Jesus was his cousin, his family member, his friend. Furthermore, John's death is also a reminder to Jesus about what is waiting in Jesus' own future. Just as John was killed by a corrupt authority, so too will Jesus himself be killed in a very similar way. And so Jesus needs time to think about these things and to pray. But the crowds will not let Jesus have this time to himself. The crowds have their own needs, and they don't much care, I think, what Jesus, that Jesus wants some time to be alone. They want Jesus to heal their sick friends and relatives. They want Jesus to heal them. And so they will not give him peace. While Jesus travels by boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the crowds go after him on foot and follow him and meet him on the other shoreline. I think that if we were in Jesus' place, we would not be very happy with this. Just like you're not very happy when your boss calls you on Saturday, or your kids will not stop bothering you when you're trying to do something else, or when that homeless man asks you for some of that lunch that you just bought for yourself. We would say, "Go away, leave me alone." We would tell the crowds to at least give me a day off, please. We would say what the disciples say, "Send them away so that we can have our dinner in peace. Send them away because we cannot help them, because now is the time for me." But here's the real miracle in today's lesson. It is not that so little feeds so much. It's not that 5,000 are fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's what Jesus sees when he looks at the crowd in need. This is the miracle. He sees this crowd coming to him for help, and he has compassion on them. Jesus gives them the time that he wanted for himself. He does not send them away, but he heals their diseases. He preaches good news to them, and he feeds them. Jesus gives them what he has. Jesus gives them all that he has. That's the miracle. Pay attention to what Jesus does with the bread and the fish. He takes it, he prays over it, he breaks it apart, and then he distributes it to the crowds by way of the disciples. Does that sound familiar? On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. This is what he does on the night of the Last Supper in the upper room. Now, this is not to say that Jesus is celebrating communion with the crowd. I do not think that that's what Matthew means to tell us. But he does mean to remind us of what Jesus gives us in his supper. Not just bread and wine, or in this case, bread and fish, but himself. Jesus gives all that he has, his body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. This is what we needed, not just bread and wine, but Jesus himself. This is what we needed, so Jesus gives us what we need. He gives his life. He gives us the only life he had. When we needed help, Jesus gave us what we needed. This is the real miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. He did what we often refuse to do. He gave what he had to those that needed it. Jesus gave his life to us. We are not like Jesus. We cannot change 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough to feed 5,000. However, there is still something in his example that we can follow. There's something in what he does that we can learn, and that might change the way that we give and think about giving. As we said before, I think so often we're afraid to give because we don't want to give up what we need for ourselves. We're afraid to give because we're afraid that no one will give to us. But remember what Jesus has given to you. He forgave your sins. He gave you eternal life. And not just because it was some extra thing that didn't mean anything to him anyway, but he gave you the life that he had. He gave you everything he had. He died so that you do not have to. If we have been given so much, can we not give to others? Here, I suppose I'm talking about money and giving to charity, but even more so, consider what Jesus has given you. Not just bread, not just money, although he has given you these things, but forgiveness of sins. He has forgiven you what you've done to him. If he can give you that, then maybe you can share what you've been given with others. The bread, the fish, the money, but especially the forgiveness. We were talking about forgiveness, or rather giving and charity and so forth, but I think what we're actually talking about is the forgiveness of sins. This is the great gift that we have to share with the world. We might be afraid to share that forgiveness because we might be afraid that if we forgive other people, they'll just keep taking and they'll just keep sinning against us. And that might happen. But remember what you've been given. Remember the sins that you've committed that God has forgiven you. Remember the life you have that is not your own, but is a gift from Jesus, who looked on that crowd and saw them with compassion, who saw people in need and then gave everything he had so that they could live, who looked on you and had compassion and gave his life for yours. What do we have to give to the world? We have Jesus. What life can we share with others? We have the life of Jesus. 5 loaves and 2 fish, that was enough to feed 5,000. What we have is enough for the world too. What we have is what Jesus gave us. What we have is him. So may we not be afraid to share him with the world, with those in need. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Almighty Father, your steadfast love is gracious and overflowing. Teach your people to look to you in every need, to be thankful for everything you give them, and to know that no danger, trouble, or hardship can ever separate them from your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Father, your Son miraculously fed the 5,000 and satisfied them. We give thanks to you for all you provide to support our bodies and lives. Make us content with what you give, that we may not covet or turn elsewhere for what comes from your hand alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, visit us in your compassion. Deliver the sick from their infirmity, the troubled from their afflictions, the grieving from their sorrow, and the dying from their fear. Give your aid to those we name today, to Shirley Rothman, Ellen Mueller, Harry Spence, Betty Spence, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Deladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, Elizabeth, and Terry Sheldon, and also for Tom, Joni, Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Cecil, Dee Dee, Nick, Monica, Joey, Gordon, Jacob, Mike, Margaret, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Ursula, Mark, and Jean, and Marie. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, let us seek you while you may be found, call upon you in the day of salvation, and be prepared by your mercy for the day of judgment. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joint edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.